Welcome to another episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast, where we aim to bring you inspiring stories and insightful conversations about business. The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is sponsored by Gibraltar International Bank, which shares our passion for all things business and makes these conversations possible. I'm your host, David Ravagliate, and this week's guest is Amit Chugani, the founder and CEO of Netgear and Netgear Business. Amit is one of Gibraltar's many retail entrepreneurs with a remarkable business journey that has led him to the forefront of technology and innovation on the rock. In this episode, we delve into Amit's entrepreneurial adventure, exploring how he built and scaled Netgear into the local powerhouse it is today. We'll also discuss his thoughts on AI and what he sees as some of the biggest threats facing businesses in today's fast-paced, tech-driven landscape. Okay, Amit, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Pleasure to be here with you.
Can you tell me a bit about the business itself? Tell me about Netgear.
Sure. So Netgear's been in Gibraltar for 20 years, and we started life as a retailer and have really moved on since then into supplying business with hardware and into IT services. So we've come a long way in a long time, and we really touch the community across the different sections of it. And we've got a good loyal customer base in Gibraltar that we provide a lot of services to.
So you mentioned you've been in business 20 years. How were those early days of the business? Tell me about the startup stage.
So the idea of Netgear was really a selfish one, whereby I wanted a laptop for myself. And back in the day, sort of it was 2002 that we started. So just before that, you actually couldn't walk into a computer store in Gibraltar and buy a branded computer or laptop. The way that it worked was that you'd sort of go in, place an order based on this processor, memory, etc., and all the different components, and they go away and order them and build them for you. Quite a long process, and they sort of tell you 2 weeks and it would end up being four. And it would be something sort of self-built in the back of their workshop. And I wanted somewhere where I could walk in and walk out with a good quality, good brand machine. And that was really the idea behind setting up the company. It was a retailer providing high quality products that were not available in Gibraltar, and firmly believed in IT as the future, and sort of IT hardware becoming a necessity rather than a luxury that it was in the early sort of 2000s. And that was the concept of the business.
I think I remember one of my first computers was ordered in exactly the way that you describe. I think I'm showing my age here. You mentioned it, loyal customers, right? So when you started the store, it was very much a customer-facing, a retail business. Has that loyalty moved over to some of the services you offer businesses?
Absolutely. What we found when we started life as a retailer was that the IT managers of businesses in Gibraltar were coming in and asking us to procure a certain kit for them, which, you know, we were very obliging to. And there are still customers from the very early days, our very first IT managers that came to see me when we started, and we were supplying them. And we're still supplying the same companies, and in many cases the same people that we were 19 years ago. So we have developed firm relationships with a lot of the businesses in Gibraltar.
I tell you what, just even coming in today for this interview, I think last time I was here, it's about 2 years ago, you seem much, much busier now in the office. How big is Netgear now?
Headcount, we're coming close to 30 people now, and we've got 5 locations in Gibraltar. Part of the issue in Gibraltar is being able to find places big enough to accommodate everybody. So we've got a combination of retail, offices, warehouse to fit everybody into. So it's grown, you know, started, it was just me, one employee. We're almost 30 people in 5 locations over 20 years. So it's been a constant growth over the 20 years.
So I think in terms of, I'm just thinking 30 people, 5 locations, logistical nightmares, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got 2 full-time logistics people and logistics vehicles, and we're moving in equipment between different locations. And that's one of the challenges of doing business in Gibraltar. It's being able to sort of find the right spaces to do the business, and it's not always available, and we've had to sort of adapt to that. And as the business grows with time, the sort of space requirement changes, and you've got to sort of adapt. And we're looking forward, we're looking at our next space and how we consolidate some of the spaces as well.
20 years in business, a growing business, a thriving business. What motivates you?
So it's really simple, and I say this sometimes to prospective employees when we're having an early conversation. I say there is no great big marketing plan. It's very, very simple, and it's a fundamental that I firmly believe in, which is take care of your customer and your customer will come back to you. And that's really been the driver for the business growth. We have core values in the business, and our core values are be helpful, be human, and be knowledgeable. And that is what differentiates us from the rest. It's our sort of secret recipe, if you want to call it that. And we live by it, we hire by it, we work by it, and we make sure that everybody in the business understands what our core values are and what we represent. And sometimes it's, you know, making sure you've got the fundamentals right to be able to take the rest of the business forward.
I think that might explain some of the kind of how customers and you build that loyalty over time. Outside of work, because I know that if you're running a business and you're growing the business, it must take a lot of your time. How do you unwind?
I think the business goes through stages in terms of its requirement. I remember in the early days, I sort of spent 10 years on the shop floor, and in the beginning I accounted for 90-95% of the sales. But what you've got to do really is to scale the business, is understand how to build a team, give those people responsibility, that those people see that they can grow with the business, and trust the people that can do that. Rather than micromanaging. So really, I find myself in a position over the 20 years now where I would have been extremely stressed a lot of the time, and now have the time to sort of think and work on the business rather than in the business. And so it gives me time to do things like going for long walks around the rock. And that free time actually gives you greater thought, and gives you the opportunity. The unwinding gives you the opportunity to think with greater clarity about how things go forward and tackle those, issues of the day in a more relaxed. It's easier when you have the time to think about the challenges, to find what could be the right solution rather than sort of firefighting and reacting immediately. So I used to run, had a small accident, but now I do a lot of walking, and I sort of enjoy that a lot, and spending time with the family, it allows me to unwind.
It does feel like that having the time to think and unwind is key to kind of the business, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you've mentioned the importance of your team, getting people on terms of the values that they know what the business is about, and also about the growth that you've had over the last kind of 20 years. Seeing as your business is quite a specialist tech business, are you finding it hard to find skilled talent locally?
It is very difficult to find the right people. Locally, there is a shortage in Gibraltar of technically skilled people. And then the other thing that we find ourselves up against is the larger companies in gaming, that will very easily sweep up this technical resource that is available. So we find ourselves almost having to compete against very large companies for the limited number of people that there are over here. Part of what we do to combat that is that this becomes almost like an academy, and people come in at lower levels, and where there's continuous development of the people in the business, and that's really allowed us, one, to retain the people, and two, to grow their skills, and it fits in with our core value of being knowledgeable.
Of course, those are actions that you can take as a leader of your own business. What can be done, do you think, outside of your business to encourage more young people to get into the tech sector?
So there are initiatives in Gibraltar like the Digital Skills Academy, which is doing a fantastic job in helping people. There are a lot of resources now available online. And there is a genuine interest with a lot of youngsters in IT, and I would encourage them to consider options. There is, for example, CompTIA, which is an industry standard for training, and they offer certification, and a lot of that can be done online. And there are some training centres in Gibraltar as well. But in the first instance, you know, the resources that are available online these days are very good resources, and that would probably be a good starting point.
As more companies shift to cloud-based services, what challenges do you foresee?
It's a combined challenge of cloud-based services, the ability to work from anywhere, hybrid working, post-pandemic, where we are. And there's also a concern about security and working within a corporate network and working from anywhere. So there's a lot of advantages to being able to work remotely. There's also a lot of advantages of being in an office environment, that human interaction that you do not get from a meeting that you sort of log into and log out of. There is not that water cooler discussion, that brainstorming doesn't happen, and that human interaction that actually we need to happen doesn't happen. So there are advantages and disadvantages, and I think, you know, a hybrid type of environment gives you the best of both worlds. And in terms of computing, really now there is the cloud computing power to work from anywhere and to work on any device. We've done a lot of work, especially in the SME space in Gibraltar, in moving, transitioning people and businesses from their on-premise servers to cloud. A lot of training around how that works, upgrading their security to make sure that it's a safe environment for them to work in. So there's a great deal of flexibility and advantage in considering, if they haven't already, moving to cloud.
You mentioned security and kind of some of the risks in there. What are the biggest cybersecurity threats facing businesses today?
Cybersecurity threat has been around for a long time. And we've been quite complacent in Gibraltar. Oh, it won't come and attack us in little Gibraltar. Actually, in the UK, at least for the last 6 years, it's been a serious conversation for most businesses about their cybersecurity. And almost 6 years ago now, we were considering becoming an IASME assessor. And for those that don't know IASME, so the UK government has appointed a body to set a standard for cybersecurity. IASME is that body and appointed by the UK government, and they run something, a program called Cyber Essentials. There's a standard and there's a plus version, and really it's been... So there's a requirement on all government providers in the UK to have become Cyber Essentials certified. So in the UK, a lot of the businesses have considered this or have been on that path. And we were considering it 6 years ago. I was going out talking to businesses in Gibraltar, and that consideration seemed too far removed for them to consider, and really, you know, they hadn't considered security as that important 6 years ago. Whereas today in Gibraltar, the businesses have a good knowledge just from sort of what they watch and hear in the news about the threats that are happening all over the world, and threats that and issues that we've experienced locally. Businesses have faced ransomware, businesses have had attacks on them in Gibraltar, and I think all businesses in Gibraltar are now fully aware of the cybersecurity risk, and so we're helping businesses consider their cybersecurity. It's not a one-off task to get cyber secure certified. It's a journey. There's multiple layers of security, the user education so that they understand what email they're looking at, whether it's a phishing email or not, whether to click on that link or not. And really, there's a whole world around cyber security. But what we do is we help guide businesses in Gibraltar through those steps. So there's some basic steps that you need to start be considering, and sort of in the first instance, once that's up and running, the next step or the next layer of security, let's look at that. How can we implement that? And we can never completely rest assured with the cyber threat. What we can do is look at continuously mitigating risk and to what point that business will invest in their cybersecurity will really depend on the data that they hold, the importance of it, the type of customers and suppliers they have, because, you know, you do need to set a budget. We could sell you a lot of security layers, but that's not necessarily the right approach, and it needs to be considered for the scale and size of business and the data that they hold, that you've got a right and tailored approach to your cybersecurity. And then the cybersecurity threat is constantly evolving. So again, you can't just say, oh yeah, I've done a few things, we're good, we've taken our first few steps, we've got our layer one, layer two, layer three. It's an evolving threat, and we need to be constantly monitoring. So what we do is a lot of monitoring for businesses, and we look at constantly upgrading based on the latest threat factors. So the very latest in what we're doing is zero trust architecture. And that does what it says on the name. We trust nothing. Everything is blacklisted. And we then allow things into the network. We allow programs to execute. And we do that based on a allowance system. It's very intelligent software that we sort of sit onto the network. So we set it up into a learning mode so it understands what traffic is allowed in and out of your network, what programs they're executing, and what's happening in the background, so that there is a balance between security and usability. Because if all of your users were stopped on every single attempt at doing their work, it would become very... So it's striking that balance.
So is that where it's going next in terms of these kind of systems, which will be trust nothing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is. Zero trust is the next level in terms of security architecture. And again, that'll be, you know, before there was a very... the biggest threat was ransomware, and you'd hear that in the news, all of the... you know, and it's always the big companies that come out in the news when a little Gibraltar company gets attacked, doesn't really make the news. And that was in the days before we had good backup, cloud backup, disaster recovery in the cloud. And so the attackers now know that if they set an encryption and ask for a ransom, actually organizations that have good IT systems will have a backup, and they can just rewind the day before the attack, and the attacker gets nothing. And so what the attackers now are doing, the latest one, sort of in the UK, which is where we do a lot of our learning from, is that they are stealing the data and now threatening to sell that data. And actually, this is just as real a threat to a business as losing their data is that threat that their customer list, their intellectual property, copyrights, and sort of the private information of the business is shared with the wider public. And that is the latest trend with attackers, is just accessing it and threatening to share it.
I think there's so much in there. If you look at 6 years ago, you presented to Gibraltar businesses, you were probably ahead of the curve then, people weren't ready for the message. What I feel, you know, as a business owner myself, you have to wear many hats. And then if you're not tech, or you're handling a lot of things, it sometimes feels overwhelming. I guess what your business does is simplify some of that and guide small businesses, because if you're running a shop on Main Street or running a business from your bedroom, it might not be at the fore of your priorities, but it sounds like it needs to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think cybersecurity has to be in everybody's mind. And the way that we work is really providing that. So I wouldn't tag us with the IT support services. I think we're really that trusted advisor. We do proactive support. We do quarterly business reviews with our customers where we look at what they're doing strategically, the business, and how we can help, and also what the evolving threat is. So you as the business owner, don't have to have an eye out for what's happening. You've got somebody that you can sort of outsource that too, and it's a very close working relationship that we have with our managed customers, where we manage absolutely everything for them and liaise very closely with them and advise them.
Things like training as well for staff, and
absolutely, okay. Yeah, training, and also that strategic advice and trying to fit the IT and the security levels and budget to the scale of that business. And when that business grows and they need to make the investment, we'll advise them correctly as to how and what they should be looking at.
So yeah, scary stuff there. It's cybersecurity and investment. So that's, you know, you've talked about some of the threats that are happening right now, in terms of that are real. And as you say, the cybersecurity threat is always evolving and changing. But I want to talk a bit further ahead now, in terms of some of the emerging technologies, some of them which are making a buzz globally as we speak. But as someone who's worked within tech all your life and has run a tech business for the last 20 years, what are the emerging technologies that you're most excited about?
So the biggest one by far, and it's the buzz of the day, is AI. And AI, I think, will completely change the way every business does business. And, you know, once we had the internet, we used to speak back in the day of the digital divide, those that have access to the internet and those that don't. The future of AI will divide society again in terms of those that have access to AI and those that don't. Those that do, I think, should understand that AI will help their business, that AI will make us more productive, and I believe that there will be an AI tool for every industry, that will be industry specific, that will help each person be able to do their job more efficiently, and that they need to work with the AI. And those that choose not to embrace AI will automatically get left behind.
So you're saying there's no turning back right now? We've turned the corner with AI? Sorry for the dumb question. I think it is something that we, you know, AI has been floating around as a technology, as a concept for many, many years, but it kind of seems to have landed.
Right? Absolutely. So in November 2022, ChatGPT was launched on the internet, and it was really the first time people could go online and publicly access AI. If you haven't been on, get onto ChatGPT, have a little play around for yourself and see the power of AI. But there are lots of AI tools already in place, and especially, for example, in the marketing industry, there's some very powerful AI tools out there. And as an example, at Netgear, we've already used AI tools to write blogs on our website, and we are going to be using more marketing, AI marketing tools throughout our marketing. In the IT industry, there is development of AI tools to help IT engineers undertake work. So that at the moment, what happens is a user requests support on our portal, and that raises a ticket. Manually, somebody reviews that ticket and then decides on an action plan and liaises with the customer, and whatever work needs to be done is then actioned. There is already in the IT industry AI tools that will analyze that ticket that comes in and plan the work and actually do the work. And there's a limited number of jobs that the AI can execute, but there's about 60 jobs, work tasks that the AI can do. They can pick that from the ticket, understand what the requirement of the job is, go away, execute the job, come back and inform the customer that has happened. And that removes the need for the human to undertake wow. that. And in the same way that it's there in the IT support world, there will be AI in the accounting world, there'll be AI in the legal world. And as an example, if a lawyer is going away and spending a few hours researching a certain topic, it can go to the AI and ask it to do that. And what would may have taken hours of research can sort of can come back and then consolidated into a concise summary of what that was. And I believe all of these tools will allow knowledge workers to be able to work much more productively, because it'll take away the repetitive tasks. It'll take away the need to do that research, because it will come back. It will have all of that in there for you and produce it for you. And so it'll allow us to do greater value work. So it doesn't necessarily need to replace that person. That person can then be upskilled to do higher value work. And when I said about the digital divide, that AI divide, those people that don't take up the AI tools that are available to them will necessarily get left behind.
It's huge stuff. Honestly, it is huge stuff when you say not necessarily take away the human. I can see, you know, I've used these tools, I've researched them even before our talk today. The benefits to removing some of those processes right now is really immediate. There's two things there, you know, to say, how do small businesses prepare for it now or try to handle it? And is it something that you can support with? And also my mind goes to what your mind sees where this technology is going to be in 5 or 10 years.
We started, so we're IT support, we moved into cybersecurity, and absolutely AI is the future, and that's what we'll look at moving into and supporting AI. I firmly believe that AI will be the future. It's still in its infancy. So in the beginning days of the internet, we've come a long way from there. The AI isn't perfect. There's a lot of refinement. There's a lot of development that needs to be done. But yes, in 5 or 10 years, absolutely, it would be a completely different world, the world of work, to what we're used to today. And all of the areas that AI can, it will, there'll obviously be areas that AI cannot replace, but there will be a lot of areas where AI has taken over, and those people will be able to benefit from AI and manage work in a completely different way in 5 or 10 years. Robots will be talking to each other. We will have ourselves recreated in an AI format, and it will answer for us, and it will do it in a way that's completely natural, where the other party will not know if it's an AI that's responded or a human being. So interesting times ahead for sure.
Definitely. Well, thanks a lot, Amit. Every time we chat, it's super enlightening. So thank you for your time.
It's been a real pleasure to be on here, and I look forward to continuing conversations in the future, and hope this has been helpful to everybody listening.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you to my guest, Amit Chughani, for your valuable insights on where you see the future of tech going. As well as our sponsors, the Gibraltar International Bank, I'd like to thank everyone who contributes to the project and keeps the podcast going from strength to strength. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you found this episode informative and engaging. If you want to contact the show, do so on any of our social channels. Until next time, keep striving for success and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the business landscape in Gibraltar. We'll be right back.